A few days ago, something big happened quietly. India and New Zealand announced a free trade agreement. Prime Minister Narendra Modi and New Zealand Prime Minister Christopher Luxon stood together and said, "This deal could double trade in 5 years and bring $20 billion of investment into India over the next 15 years. On paper, it sounded positive, almost like, sab theek hai, deal ho gayi. But then the twist came. Just few hours later, New Zealand's own Foreign Minister Winston Peters came out strongly against the deal. He said, "This deal is neither free nor fair." That line alone tells you a lot. Now let's rewind a bit. Negotiations for this deal started in March 2025. Both countries don't trade that much anyway, only about $2 to $2.5 billion a year, which is very small by India's standards. So India went with the mindset that we need to be very careful while doing this deal. India said, "We will not repeat old mistakes." Now, what is that old mistake we are referring to? Remember RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. It is the world's largest free trade agreement by population and GDP, involving 15 Asia-Pacific countries, signed in 2020 and effective from 2022. It covers ASEAN's 10 members plus Australia, China, Japan, South Korea and New Zealand, aiming to cut tariffs on 90% of goods over 20 years. In 2019, India walked out of the RCEP trade talks. Why? Because it feared one big risk. Cheap imports, especially from China, could flood Indian markets and widen trade deficits, hurting farmers and small businesses. But then if you look at New Zealand, they stayed inside RCEP and benefited from deeper access within that large trade bloc. RCEP gave New Zealand easier access to big Asian markets like China, Japan, South Korea, ASEAN countries and Australia, all under one common rule book. Instead of negotiating separately with each country, New Zealand could trade smoothly across the region. Now, from RCEP, we learn that New Zealand's strength is in exports, especially dairy, meat, and agricultural products. With RCEP, these goods got easier access into the Asian markets, especially China and Southeast Asia. India learned a very important lesson by looking at what New Zealand did. I will tell you a very important point from economic standpoint. Pay attention. If a country joins a very large trade bloc, let's take RCEP for example, you will basically have a very hard time because you will be dealing with many powerful exporters. On paper, these deals promise growth. But when India studied the fine print, three hard realities stood out. First, India already had huge trade deficits, especially with China. Joining RCEP would have meant even cheaper Chinese goods flooding Indian markets, making it harder for Indian factories, farmers, and MSMEs to survive. The second point that India learned was, FTAs have showed us that imports rise much faster than exports. India opens its markets with goodwill. The same wasn't seen from the opposite country. Indian goods often faced hidden barriers in abroad, like quality rules, standards and regulations, which used to create many problems for Indian exporters. And the third point that India learned is that, once you enter a mega trade pact, you lose flexibility. You can't easily protect sensitive sectors like dairy, agriculture or small manufacturing later. So keeping all this in mind, this time India played slow and smart. And always remember this point. It is always better to have a smaller, carefully negotiated bilateral FTAs rather than some big trade bloc. Of course, for a country like China, a bigger trade bloc would help in flooding opposition's market with cheap goods. But then your own domestic market also gets exposed. So, as a country, you have to be very careful when signing bilateral agreements or any multilateral agreements. Now, when it comes to us, India opens only those sectors which it can afford to open, protects vulnerable sectors, and focuses on areas where it is strong like services, professionals, technology and investment. In short, India learned that bigger trade deals are not always better deals. Control, caution and balance matter more than headlines. So this time with New Zealand, India secured its red lines. No opening of dairy sector, no cheap milk, cheese, butter flooding into Indian villages. So in a nutshell, when India signed the FTA with New Zealand, it did not open its entire market. India deliberately kept about 30% of products outside the deal. For these items, nothing changes. No tax cuts, no cheaper imports, no duty-free access. And this is exactly where New Zealand got upset. You see, for New Zealand, dairy is everything. Milk, cheese, butter, they are like rice and wheat for India. Dairy sector alone makes up almost 30% of New Zealand's total exports. But in this FTA, India said no to dairy sector. For New Zealand farmers, that felt like a shock. Winston Peters said, "This is the first trade deal where New Zealand's major dairy products are excluded." And politically, that is very hard for the New Zealand government to explain back home. But dairy sector was only half the story. The real tension came from people movement. This deal gives India something very rare. This FTA gives temporary employment entry visa to 5,000 Indian professionals at any given time. 3-year work visas and renewable under certain conditions. Then eligible fields like IT, engineering, healthcare and education. These are high demand sectors in New Zealand. Then there is also demand for unique Indian professions like Ayush practitioners, yoga instructors, Indian chefs and music teachers. These visas require job offers and skilled roles, facilitating services trade in 118 sectors open to Indian providers. Now, if we compare this with Australia and UK, Australia gave India only 1,000 annual work visas. UK did not offer anything close to this. So from India's side, this was a huge win. More jobs, more exposure, more global mobility of Indian talent. But for New Zealand's side, Winston Peters said, "We gave India more access to our labour market than even Australia or the UK." And if you analyse New Zealand's current economic situation, New Zealand already has a tight job market. A new India-specific employment visa could create pressure. Indian students also get 20 hours work per week permit, and there is also an uncapped entry into universities. In simple words, New Zealand fears that too many doors were opened at once. Because of this, Winston Peters' party, New Zealand First, said clearly, "We will vote against this deal in Parliament." They even used something called agree to disagree inside the coalition government, meaning the government itself is divided. Now here's the interesting part. Even while opposing the deal, Peters said something important. He said, "I respect India. I respect External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar. And I have personally told him our position. So this is not anti-India sentiment. This is domestic politics inside New Zealand." More importantly, it also shows how India negotiated calmly and carefully, holding its ground and persuading New Zealand to accept terms that protected India's core interests. It was not rushed or emotional. It was patient, strategic and diligent diplomacy. Meanwhile, India quietly moved ahead. The deal is not just about goods. It also includes UPI and digital payment cooperation, faster cross-border remittances, support for real-time payments, more access for Indian banks and insurance companies, up to 15 Indian bank branches allowed in New Zealand over 4 years. Now, this strengthens India's fintech and financial services power globally. So when you zoom out, this deal tells us something bigger. India is no longer chasing big flashy trade deals. India is choosing selective, cautious, strategic agreements, protect farmers, push services, export talent, attract long-term investment. Now the final chapter is still pending. The deal must be ratified by New Zealand's parliament. If it passes, it could come into force in about 7 months. But the real test won't be signatures. The real test will be removing non-tariff barriers, recognizing more Indian degrees, making sure businesses actually use the deal. Because trade deals don't work automatically. They work only if countries put in patient, boring, follow-up work. And that is where the real story will begin. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching. I'll see you in the next one.